listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I'm excited to share quickly the Word of God this morning, and my goal this morning is that by the time you leave here, that you're very quickened and that your spirit is quickened to see God even more than you have been before today. That's the job that I'm hoping to accomplish this morning. And so I'm grateful to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me the opportunity to share the Word of God. It's a privilege. We're leaving for Africa, and maybe at the end of the service, if the whole church can pray for us, we're leaving next week, and we're believing God for a mighty move of God and for harvest. Ever since I saw the scripture that the angels are the harvesters, that actually changed the way I pray, about harvest. Because the Bible says that Jesus said that the angels are the harvesters, So that means that if we want to experience harvest, then we have to partner with the angels that are the harvesters to experience harvest, Whenever you're praying for harvest, release those angels. There are angels that their job is to bring in the harvest. And so when you release those angels, they go forth and they begin to work in people's life and begin to bring people to Jesus Christ. How many of us believe that we need harvest all over the world, in America, in Africa, everywhere? We need harvest, and we need the move of the Spirit of God, because that's what, especially when you go to third world countries where God is the only thing they have, so when you go to those places, you have to totally depend on the manifestation of the Spirit of God to be able to do what you're there to do. And God always moves because that's His heart desire. His heart desire is to touch His people, to transform His people. So anytime we call upon Jesus, He shows up. So it's really an amazing thing and encouraging to be able to see that. So please keep us in prayers and pray that God will have His way and things will move the way it's supposed to be. There's been a lot of prophetic words that has gone over that nation about revival, and I'm really, really glad to be, doing that and going there and being a blessing to them. So Holy Spirit, we just thank You this morning, and we ask, Lord, that Your word will go forth even at this time. Lord, that You will speak to Your people. Let it bring transformation. Let it bring quickening in their spirit. And Lord, Father, that every heart in this place will be quickened, transformed in a powerful way this morning, Lord, that they will leave here, God, regenerated and changed and transformed and on fire for You even this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll be talking briefly this morning about a praying generation. A praying generation. So one of the things, a lot of times we, when we talk about prayer, some of us, we really haven't really gotten the hang of prayer. We're still trying to figure it out, and it's okay. God is taking each and every one of us through a growing process. But one thing you have to know, that every revival that has happened around the world, anywhere, prayer is being the reason why those revivals happened. And so whatever we want to see happen in Grace Harbor, we can complain as much as we want. We can frown. We can get mad. I'm in that boat too. Sometimes get too mad about it. But the bottom line is, the only thing that will change it is prayer. The power of prayer. When we become a praying generation. And when I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about you waiting until you get to church to pray. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you living a life of prayer. You being an intercessor. You being a woman or a man that prays. That every single day of your life, you're in prayer. You're interceding. You're contending for more of God. And it takes revelation. It takes, so we are in a world today where we're so busy, we're constantly moving, we're constantly just, there's so much that is taking our time every single day. And we begin to neglect the importance of prayer. We begin to neglect that time that we are supposed to give to God. You see, when we don't pray, we become a powerless church. And a powerless church is not effective. We cannot be effective if we are a powerless church. And power comes from prayer. When we dedicate our time, when we start to spend time with the Holy Spirit, when we start to spend time with God. Now you go to the book of Luke chapter 4. After Jesus was baptized. Now Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, came to the earth, baptized, and the first thing the Spirit of God did with him was chase him out to go pray. The Bible says he was driven into the wilderness right after his baptism. Because here's the bottom line. After the baptism, Jesus could have just gone out and started doing everything that he had wanted to do. He could have done that because he's received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he was loaded already. But the Spirit of God drove him to intimacy with the Father. The Spirit of God drove him to a place where he had to spend time in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. Have you asked yourself, what was Jesus praying for 40 days and 40 nights? I mean, we can't even handle 10 minutes of prayer. Oh, praying in tongues, blah, 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 blah. Oh, we're done. We're done. We got it. We're just done. But Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights praying, seeking the face of the Father, interceding for the work that he has ahead of him. And a lot of times we complain that we don't hear God. We complain, how can God not speak to me? Wait a minute. Have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? Has God ever stopped talking? God has never stopped talking. The problem is we don't listen. The problem, we don't spend time enough with him to hear his heart. And we have this understanding that whenever we pray, that it's all about coming in and the... Okay, so I'm guilty of this too. I used to do this before. You know, that when the only time I really pray is when I need something. You know? When I need something from God, man, I'm praying. The minute I get it, see you later, God. I'll see you again when I need something. And that is the life of the Christian life that we live every day, because we think that we're too busy to spend time in prayer with God. But what we don't understand is that a lot of times things will fall apart around you for lack of prayer. The things you're complaining about can easily be fixed by prayer, by just praying and spending time with the Father. Now, if you study the life of Jesus, it wasn't just that 40 days and 40 nights that he prayed. Study his life very well, the New Testament. Jesus always, no matter how busy he was, Jesus always took time out to pray. Always. He would stop in the middle of everything. There's thousands of people waiting for him and all this. And the Bible says he would just walk off and go up to the mountain and pray all night. So if our Messiah, the one we believe in, the one we're trusting every day, lived a life of prayer, what in the world are we doing, church? How do we think that we can just walk with God and just go through the motion and just get so busy that at the end of it, we get just 1 minute before we go to bed, and while we're doing that, we're already falling asleep. And we doze off, and we really think that power comes from that. No, it doesn't. The power of God comes from an intense fellowship with the presence of God. When you get into that atmosphere, you set time apart for him. You set time apart for him. He is not the person that you set time for when you have the time. He becomes your priority. He becomes the first person you give your time. When you wake up in the morning and you start to pray in tongues, you start to pray in the spirit. And I'm telling you, it changes your whole day. I have witnessed it, I've practiced it, and it does work. It changes your whole day. When you start your day in prayer, when you start your day fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, it changes your whole day. Because you're putting God first. Now let's see what Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, nor regard man, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, And the Lord said, shall God not avenge his throne out day and night?
A lot of times, here is the thing, a lot of times we just, you know, say that one prayer and we don't see what we're praying for, and then we give up, we stop, we get mad at God because we're not seeing what we prayed for at that time. But remember, God is not asking you to pray because he didn't already know what your desires are. Jesus says your Father knows what your needs are. But what God is really looking for is partnership. So God is in charge of heaven and, of course, the earth. But he has placed us here on earth to be in charge. So God partners with us. He partners with us to accomplish what he wants to do here on earth. So what does he do? He puts you in a place where you become a praying person. And the Bible says if you pray according to the will of God, so what are you doing when you're praying according to the will of God? You're bringing the manifestation of God to earth. And that's what Jesus said to pray. Pray that the will of the Father be done on earth. So when you're praying according to God's will, you are in partnership. The Bible says two cannot work together except they agree. So you are agreeing with heaven to bring the manifestation of heaven to earth. If that's the case, then we need to pray, church. If the earth is depending on us, if the world is depending on our prayer, then we need to pray. I found myself sometimes, you know, I like to, little confession, I like to relax and watch movies sometimes, good movies, not bad ones. But I found myself that when I was done watching them, I just spent 2 hours. What did I gain out of this movie? Nothing. Number one, I'm mad the way it ended. And so, so I'm trying to justify why did I even spend 2 hours that I could have spent in prayer, that I could have spent studying the Word of God. And I'm telling you, when you start to spend time in prayers with God, you will start to experience the glory of God. I'm telling you, you will start to experience the glory of God. There are some times when I wake up in the morning to pray, and I'm telling you, I feel like I'm floating up off the earth. And it happens sometimes too when I'm driving on the road, just driving, and all of a sudden, okay, I got to stay here. I'm driving. Jesus, you got to take the wheel. So you have to pray. It's not just something that you do one time. Now God has called us to be people of prayer. So the Bible said pray without ceasing. So you don't stop praying. So every minute, every second, you're in prayer. You're in prayer, even consciously, subconsciously. When you have gotten to that place where you live a life of prayer, you will constantly pray. You don't wait for Sunday to pray. You don't wait for church to pray. You don't wait for Bible study to pray. You pray. And it's not just praying and asking God for stuff. But you are praying because you want to spend time with the Father. I don't think Jesus was out there praying and asking the Father for all this stuff. It's good to ask the Father for stuff. That's what he does. He loves to give gift to his children. But understand this. That is not the intention of prayer. The intention of prayer is to spend time with the Father. And when you spend time with the Father, the goodness of the Father rubs off of you. The goodness of the Father starts to flow. And you will start to experience the goodness of the Father. And the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, we quote the scripture all the time. If they would humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. So understand this. We are constantly blaming God for not moving. We are constantly blaming God for what he's waiting on us for. He said, if they will pray, if they will humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land. So guess who he's waiting for? He's waiting for us to pray so he can heal the land. But if we don't pray, he's not going to heal the land because he wants to partner with you. Is God able to just walk down the earth and start doing all this stuff? Yes, he can, but he doesn't want to because he has you here on earth. And he wants to partner with you. You might be saying, well, my prayer, God doesn't hear my prayer. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You are a child of God, and the Father hears your prayer. The Father longs for your prayer. Don't let the enemy lie to you that the Father doesn't hear you. The Father longs for your prayer. He longs to spend time with you in prayer. So he says, if you will humble yourself and you come in and you ask me to heal the land, he says, I will come in and I will heal the land. When we become people that are intensely praying at home, not just in church, but praying at home, spending time in prayer. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. And just allow the Spirit of God to intercede through you. Allow the Spirit of God to pray the Word of God through you, to pray the will of the Father through you. And as you do that, you will begin to see that things will begin to shift, because what we need to do is to begin to pray what the Father says, what the will of the Father says. When we pray that, heaven collides with the earth. So instead of blaming everybody in the harbor and blaming everybody in the world how everything is bad, falling apart, why don't we go back to prayer, church? Why don't we go back to prayer? And sometimes even when we gather, you know, maybe you invite people at your house and say, hey, can you come over so we can pray? You spend half of the time talking about everybody else except pray. By the time you're done, you don't even want to pray anymore, because now you feel bad because you've talked about everybody else. And in your mind, oh, I'm just giving you prayer points. No, that's not what you're doing. We need to let all of that go, and we need to come into the presence of God in our homes, and we need to start praying. We need to wake up in the middle of the night, and we need to start praying. We need to intercede for this nation. We need to intercede for this church. We need to pray until people walk into this door and nobody prays for them, and God heals them. God sets them free just by walking on the road here, just by walking into this church. That's what prayer does. And God is calling each and every one of us. You might say, well, I might not be, I don't know how to preach, you know, I can't go up there and preach, but you can pray. You can pray. You can shut off the TV and just pray. Just pray. To sit down in the presence of God and just start interceding. Each time I talk about prayer, this story comes into my mind. I was in Mali of West Africa as a missionary. And when I was pastoring a church in Africa, I was, you know, doing ministry full time, so I had time. And in Africa, we pray. When I say we pray, we pray. I mean, 4 hours, we're still praying. So in Africa, 2 hours, it takes them 2 hours to take offering. Pastor is standing up here for offering and you're going, oh, he's taking too long. No, in Africa, it takes 2 hours for worship, because everybody dances. I mean, the dance is just too much. I mean, they dance and dance and dance. Everybody is sweating. There is no air conditioning, and it's like 90 degrees. And you're going, no way. And 5, 6, 8 hours later, service is still going on. And I'm going, guys, we got to go home. And they go, we're just starting. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed. And I remember this night. I was in bed. I was laying down, and I had a tap on my leg. It was a tap. When I say a tap, I wasn't dreaming. Somebody tapped me. I had a tap. And I woke up. There was nobody there. It was just me in the room. I woke up and I heard an audible voice that say, wake up and pray. And so I stood up, because I was going to go back to sleep. So I sat up in my bed. I was so tired, and I'm, okay, God, this must be serious. If God is asking me to pray, this must be serious. And this is depending on me.
So I started praying. While I was praying, I said, okay, God, what is it that you want me to pray? I don't know what to pray. So I prayed in the spirit. And all of a sudden, he said, pray for your family. And I started praying for my family. And 3 days later, I got a call from my dad that my younger brother fell down from a tree and landed on a broken bottle that was sitting on a fence. And so when he landed on it, okay, so in Africa, there is no 911, there is no ambulance, you deal with it. So they were trying, my dad was old, he couldn't get up the fence to get him down. And he said the way that it happened was that it was as if that the enemy wanted to kill him that day. Because he said there were young men standing. It was like everybody was held. It was like something was holding them from going up there to get him down. And he was bleeding to death. I mean, blood was flowing now and all of that. And so finally, my dad taps them on the shoulder and said, what are you guys waiting for? So they ran up there, got him down, rushed him to the hospital. He made it. And when he told me this, I put down the phone and I said to myself, what if I didn't pray? What if when God woke me up at that middle of the night, I was very tired? What if I had fallen back asleep and that young man would have died? You know who God would have held responsible for it? Me. Because he said, if I tell you that a sinner is going to die and you do nothing about it, I'll hold you responsible for their blood. How many times has God woken you up? You just think that, you see, sometimes we don't allow ourselves to really function in discernment. All of a sudden, you're sleeping, and bam, you just wake up, and your eyes is wide open. Do you really think that's, you magically, you're so smart that you can wake yourself up while sleeping? You really think that? No, God woke you up to pray. But we're not sensitive enough to allow ourselves to be able to do that. We go back to sleep, or we start watching TV, or we do something, and I can't go back to sleep. Well, God is wanting you to pray. That's why. And until you pray, you're not going back to sleep. God is calling us to prayer. Let me tell you, the revival that we're believing for and the move of God that we're believing for is not going to come by just lukewarm Christianity. It's not going to come by us playing games. It's not going to come by us making everything else priority except God. That's not how it's going to come. It's going to come when we intentionally decide to be a praying people. When we intentionally contend for more of God. When we intentionally at home and we say, God, we need revival in Aberdeen. We need revival in Grace Harbor. We need revival in this nation. We need revival in our families, in our church. God, may you rain down heaven. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, he says, God, tear heaven up and come down and let all the mountains begin to shake at your presence. That is a prayer of revival. That is an intercession. That is an intercession that God is calling each and every one of us. A lot of times we think, oh, there are people that are called to be intercessors. Absolutely. But let me tell you one thing. We are all called to be intercessors. You're just trying to run away from it. So you're putting it on other people. Oh, I can't share the gospel. We're all called to share the gospel. You're just running away from it. Oh, there are people that are called to do it. Oh, you're called to do it as well. because you're a child of God. And when we learn how to totally say, God, do you understand that? I was reading it yesterday, that before Jesus chose 12 apostles, he prayed all night. Did you know that? Before he chose his 12 apostles, the Bible said he prayed all night. As a matter of fact, he was doing a meeting, and all these things, great things was happening, people getting transformed, delivered, set free, and all of that. And when he was done, he took off and went up to the mountain. The Bible said he prayed all night. All night. This is Jesus that we are talking about. All night. Why do Jesus need to pray? He's 100% God, 100% man. He prayed all night. And when he came down, he chose his 12 apostles. And we can't even pray for anything anymore. It's like we don't even want to hear what God has to say. We don't even want to hear the direction that God is leading us. We want to make our own decisions. We want to do what we want to do. And we don't ask God, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? What do you want me to do here? Because I want to do your will. And that only happens by prayer. When we begin to seek God, God will begin to speak to you, because he says in the book of Ezekiel, he said, I sought for a man that will stand on the gap. I'm looking for somebody. He said, I'm looking for somebody that will stand on the gap. I'm looking for somebody that I can wake up in the middle of the night and tell them to pray, and they will actually pray. I'm looking for somebody that when people ask for prayer from them, they will actually pray. A lot of times we put people away by saying, I'm going to pray for you, and you don't pray. We're lying to these people. If you tell somebody you're going to pray, you better pray, because they're dependent on your prayer. And he says, I sought for a man that will stand on the gap. And he said, I found none. Because everybody is busy doing their thing. Everybody, you know, we come to church, we do our thing. Everybody goes home, we barbecue, and we eat dinner. We go watch football, watch soccer, watch this, was that. And we're so busy. Wow, what a busy generation. But I'm telling you, when we go down on our knees, Abraham, I'll end with this. Abraham had an encounter with God. And after he had an encounter with God, God was heading over to Sodom to destroy Sodom. And God said, I can't do that without first of all talking to Abraham. You see, when you become an intercessor, God does not do anything without talking to you first. When you become an intercessor, when God gives you authority over a region, when God gives you authority over a nation, when God gives, and those authority comes because you have a heart to pray. Praying people are the ones that has the authority, because you decree in the spiritual realm. Preachers can come up and preach and all of that. But let me tell you this. Prayer warriors are the ones that pave the way for preachers to preach. Because prayer saturates the atmosphere. It's like marinating the atmosphere. That's what prayer does. It marinates the atmosphere. And so God said, I'm not going to destroy Sodom. I need to talk to Abraham first. And so he talks to Abraham, and he said, hey, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And Abraham said, okay, hold on 1 minute. If I can, so that's intercession. That's this. So the destiny of a nation was in the hand of Abraham at that point. He was in control. God was not in control. Abraham was in control. God put the control on Abraham's hands. And Abraham knew that, and he took advantage of it.
And he started interceding for Sodom. He started praying for Sodom. And he said, God, what if we find 50 people? What if we find 40 people? What if we find 20? What if we find 10? What if we find 5? And we couldn't. Okay, God, there's really nothing else I can do. God said, okay, I'm going over now to destroy the city. But Abraham interceded. Imagine what will happen if everyone in this room, we begin to intercede for Grace Harbor. Imagine what would happen if we all start to intercede for our church, for our leaders, for this nation. When we begin to intercede, and I'm not talking about that 2 seconds prayer. I'm talking about just wailing and burning. The Bible said the Spirit of God intercedes through it with a groaning. So that groaning comes when the heart of the Father comes upon you. That sometimes, I am telling you this, there's been times where I've been in prayer and God will give me people's name to pray for. I don't even know these people. I don't know them. And I just start praying for them. Because God has to be able to trust me that whenever he calls on me to pray, that if there is anything, I might not do anything else, but I can definitely pray. And you might think, well, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have what it takes, I don't have this. But believe me, you don't need anything to pray. You just need to pray. And you know the amazing thing about it? The more you pray, the more it becomes easier. And I am telling you, the more you don't leave the house without prayer. Any day that I don't pray before I head out, I'm telling you, it just feels like I lost something that day. There's something going on. You know, you just feel it within yourself that you need to go back and you need to spend time with the Father. Because let me tell you one thing. When you set a time with God, God always comes to that time. When you say, I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. and pray. At 5 a.m., God is there with you. He's there. He's there. And you're sleeping, you're snoring. And he tries to wake you up, but you don't want to do it. You're too tired. But I've noticed that the nights that I wake up in the middle of the night, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and then pray and go back to sleep, believe me this, I'm telling you the truth. I wake up that day more refreshed than the days that I sleep through the night. Because there is something about the presence and the glory of God. There's something about that. That gives you peace. There is something about the presence of God that releases saturation over you. And it comes by prayer. When you become a man or a woman of prayer, lay everything else aside. You can take out time. You can map out time. And you start to pray. And each time God speaks to you to pray, you might be driving and all of a sudden, God, you will feel the utterance to pray. Don't stop yourself. Start praying. You're creating the atmosphere. It doesn't matter where you are. You can pray and start to decree the kingdom of God and declare the manifestation of the presence of God. If you want to stand up to your feet, please.
There are some here that will say, well, maybe I used to pray before, and now I don't even feel it anymore. I don't even feel like I want to pray now, and all of that. God can revive your prayer life this morning. He can revive your prayer life this morning. And we need our prayer lives to be revived. We need that quickening. We need that burning, that God will give you burning for the kingdom, that God will give you burning to pray for people, and you will pray for them as if you're praying for yourself. You will pray for them as if that's the last thing that you have to do. Every revival follows prayer. Every revival, every move of God comes as a result of prayer. Church, we cannot afford not to pray. We cannot. If there is anything that you want to make a decision to do today, is prayer. God, I will spend time in prayer with you. I will spend time and I will pray. I will declare. If you don't know what to pray, pray the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak what God is speaking. I'm telling you, there is power in the word of God. There is manifest power in the word of God. When you start to pray the word of God, God will go forth and he will manifest himself. Every single one of us in this room. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Every one of us in this room, we have the anointing of God upon our lives. But the problem is that we are not refreshing this anointing. We're not refreshing this oil. We're just letting the old oil just sit there. We are not refreshing it. We wait until we come to church on Sunday to refresh it. That's not what the church is for. You're supposed to refresh in our home. And when we come into this church, we will experience an explosion of the presence of God, because praying men and women are here. But when we don't pray, then we come together and it's just like, you know, have you been to some churches and some places where you're sitting there going,
I'm falling asleep right now. I just want to go home. I have been there.
But I'm telling you, we need prayer. You see, we're complaining that they're taking prayer out of school, or they've taken prayer out of schools. We have taken prayer out of our homes. So how can there be prayer in schools whereas we don't have them at home? If we can get prayer back in our homes, there'll be prayer in schools, because those kids, they will go to school and they'll pray. So let's start that atmosphere of prayer in our home, building an altar before God at home. That God, I just want to sit in your presence. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I don't want you to do this for me, do that for me. I just enjoy being in your presence. I just enjoy just sitting here. You know what Jesus said to Martha? Martha was busy doing all this stuff and serving, and which was good. Those are great things. She was serving and doing all of that. But what was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Mary started complaining, because that's usually what happens. People that don't pray are the ones that are always complaining. No, that's the truth. Praying people don't have time to complain. They deal with it in the spiritual realm. They go back and they pray, and they get rid of whatever needs to get rid of. They don't have time to complain. And so Martha said, well, Are you going to have Mary come help me? And Jesus said, Martha, you worry about so much. You worry so much. But here, Mary, Mary's chosen the best part that cannot be taken away from her. She has chosen the best part that cannot be taken away from her. And that best part is being at the feet of Jesus. And look at this. Watch this. When Lazarus died, when Jesus was coming, Mary and Martha, they heard about him. Martha runs to Jesus and says, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Mary did something different. The Bible says, when Mary ran to Jesus, she fell down and worshiped him and said, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. And the Bible says, and Jesus wept. Jesus didn't weep when Martha got there. Jesus wept when Mary got there. Because let me tell you one thing, that when you become someone that dwells in the presence of God, you move heaven. When you pray, when you speak, you move heaven. Heaven responds to you, because the angels of God, hear this, the angels of God, they are waiting for you, not God, for you to give them orders. Now understand this. They don't take those orders because you gave them. They're taking those orders because they are the word of God. Because their job is to perform the word of God. So when you release the word of God over them, when you release the word of God, the angels, they go forth and then begin to perform the word that you have just released. But the problem is, we don't release enough of this word. Or sometimes when we release them, we contradict them by complaining. And so the angels, we release the word. The angels, they go forth and we start complaining. They stop. Because complaining does not move them. What moves them is the word of the Father. That's what moves them. And if we want to see a change in this city, we need to stop praying and stop complaining. Lift up your hands and just begin to worship.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.